Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I've just got a couple questions, and since Commissioner Smith, you said the questions will be answered at the end. So my questions are, is the developer even aware that you're not going to allow him access to Ibis Road? He is. Why would he spend all that money to build a road that you're not going to let him use? Okay. So I would like an answer to that question.
Fair question. This is David Young, who is a resident, I believe, on Ibis Road. This is the road that's just across from the courthouse in Santa Rosa County on Avalon. If you think where, like, the hangar's at, there's a helicopter. Helicopter's still there, right? I haven't driven up there, but I'm sure it's been there for years. Anyway, the Santa Rosa County Courthouse, the helicopter, Avalon Boulevard, right across the street, on the east side of the street there, there's a couple of subdivisions that are kind of, there's a frontage road that runs along there, which is a terrible thing. We talked about that with Brad Baker earlier this morning, about how that is actually a terrible design. It really is. And then there's, like, to the north, there's some kind of semi-industrial park. There's a Trump Boulevard back in there. And anyway, on the east side of those properties, you've got Ibis, and you've got Westmont, and you've got Gulf. And on the east side of those properties, east side of those streets, is woods, or at least was woods. And these people have cul-de-sacs, and each one's a little bit different, but each of them thought we were never going to have anything behind our houses. Well, lo and behold, there's construction going in. In fact, that whole area, I think even behind Cactus and, you know, Yucca and all that area, I think all of that area is kind of like slated for development, which is not a surprise particularly. But these folks had been promised before that they weren't going to have a road connecting through their dead-end cul-de-sac, and they're frustrated because it looks like, I mean, the builder has built the pre-road right up to that property, and like, wait, no, you know? And so the county has actually put out barricades there. There was a vote in the past about it, but the question that David Young has is, why would they be spending money building a thing that you've already told them that they can't have? Well, Brad Baker kind of explained some of this to us, and there's a lot of back and forth over the years about whether this would or would not actually get opened. But it's a fair question, and they're wondering because they thought they were promised this would not happen.
I'd like to know where the barriers are going to go and when. Are they going to go right at the end of the apex of Ibis Road at the cul-de-sac, or are they going to go on the east side of the county property and block them off? Where are the barriers going, and what kind of barriers are we going to get? And can we have a basketball court or something like that put at the end of Ibis Road to prevent future access once all of you have retired and they come back again?
Because the concern is, right, you know, what happens later? Because one board promised no. Now this board seems to have been less emphatic about that, but that's the question. It's an open question what's actually going to happen. And if you build a thing in the barrier there, then they can't actually go through and build the road, and that's kind of the thing that they're asking for. Jerry Cooey?
We had a very public vote. We've had a private meeting about it. We've had it put in writing that it's not going to happen. There's been text messages sent that it's not going to happen. Yet today there's a crew that's putting it in.
And that's the concern they have, is why can't we solve this, especially since it's county property, that one little area.
I've heard your promises.
It's a guy named James Hasty.
I've heard your promises. I have one question. If it's county property, can't you make them remove the road? If it's our property, it's public property, why are they allowed to put the road and then put in a blocking? Why don't you make them remove it and then resod it and put in a basketball court or whatever to prevent them from coming into our neighborhood?
Yeah, and which is, look, if I live on that neighborhood, that's what I would be asking for too, right? Have them take it out, have them put up something in the way that will make it impossible to ever happen in the future. I get it. Listen, when we bought our house, this was one of the concerns we had, is, you know, our subdivision is behind another subdivision. And there are other subdivisions behind that one. And I totally understand. If you build on a dead-end road, you know, normal human brain thinks, well, what you buy is what you're going to get. But as we have seen with infill development, you've got a demand for housing, and so people are building all over the place in places that they thought weren't going to happen. But if there's land behind your road, if there's land behind your dead end, if there's land near your subdivision that has not been developed, you got to kind of assume at some point it's going to. And in this particular, and I'm not saying that justifies breaking promises or that people don't have frustrated expectations. I do. I get that. But you have to, there's no iron guarantee. And one board can't promise or obligate a future board. I mean, you can put in zoning, but zoning can be undone. Variances can be given. You know, things can change. And especially given the current move towards interconnectivity of subdivisions, that was something that Brad Baker told us a lot about an hour and a half ago, is they're always trying to alleviate traffic through neighborhoods by creating multiple ways to get anywhere. You know, the grid solves for the problem of one congested thoroughfare. The other issue is they're trying to get FDOT to agree to connect some of that, like one of those frontage road basically accesses onto Avalon so that you have more easy egress in and out. But I get it. It's a very, very frustrating thing for people who live in that area. 437-1620, 437-1620. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report right now. Also, I-10, I-110, even 98 and Highway 90 are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're buying a next vehicle and or just maybe thinking about it, because, you know, a lot of times we have such a negative experience of buying cars, which is understandable. I think most people don't like it. John's weird. He likes it. I hate it. And it's just because it's the details, it's the process, and I want to be in the car. You know, I don't want to have to go through the process of getting one. And what I found is at Frontier, most of the things I hated about that process are not a problem, or they do their best to make it, you know, not a problem for you. But I would recommend that you go there and treat them as a resource. Ask them, you know, what kind of cars are people complaining about? What kind of cars are people talking good about? Is this generation of cars different from the prior generation? Are COVID cars a problem? You know, cars that were built and delivered in 20 and 21 or 22. Like, you know, ask these questions because they will have seen hundreds or even thousands of cars. They'll have perspective for you. And then, you know, maybe you buy from them, maybe you don't, but just treat them as a resource. That's the way I think of them, as an ally, not as an adversary, kind of like a source of car buying guidance. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
When it comes to precious metals, there's only one place to consider, and that's Emerald Coast Coins. They're the local leader in dealing with coins and jewelry, gold, silver, diamonds, and sterling silver. Emerald Coast Coins buys, sells, and trades. And for the past 15 years, customers from all over the Gulf Coast have trusted Emerald Coast Coins for the best estimates and prices in town. Stop in today. Emerald Coast Coins on Creighton Road.
Pensacola Navy Days, presented by Navy Federal Credit Union and the Pensacola Ice Flyers. The Night at the Museum Gala is back at the Naval Aviation Museum on Friday, May 9th, and presented by Pennair Federal Credit Union. Your ticket includes cocktails, dinner from Classic City Catering, and an evening of music under the planes. Mayor D.C. Reeves will give the keynote address. Early bird tickets are $120. Tickets for this black tie gala will go fast. Get yours today at PensacolaNavyDays.com. That's PensacolaNavyDays.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I hate snakes, Doc! I hate them! And now let's take up, please, tab 55, Board of Trustees of Pensacola State College, Dr. Joel Rudman. Dr. Rudman was invited to appear. He indicated he would appear. He announced publicly that he was looking forward to appearing this Tuesday, today, before this committee, and indicated that that he had a list that he was keeping close to his vest of legislators who were criminally violating drug laws.
Oh, wow. I just started listening a little bit to the Ethics and Elections Subcommittee hearing. That's Senator Don Gates. And, yeah, remember this came up in the first committee meeting, which was the Appropriations for Higher Education. And you had the senator saying that, you know, it feels like you were threatening us with these revelatory names about who's using the drugs. I thought he was talking, he was making implied claims about Alex Andrade because he said it wasn't about the Senate, it was about the House. So Don Gates is definitely not letting this go, but he goes on.
And that depending upon how this committee behaved, those were his words. I have the full transcript of his comments here. Depending upon how we behaved, he would have to reveal those names. It turns out that Dr. Rudman is the one who has not been revealed. He decided toward the end of the week last week, just before the weekend, to announce that he would not, that he had declined to appear before the committee. And apparently he left the country.
Wow. Okay. Keep going, Don. Keep going, Don. Wait, what?
Can you replay that again just for me? I'm sorry. I want to hear it again.
He decided at who...
Here we go. Okay.
It turns out that Dr. Rudman is the one who has not been revealed. He decided toward the end of the week last week, just before the weekend, to announce that he would not, that he had declined to appear before the committee. And apparently he left the country.
Oh, okay. So if you remember, okay, Joel Rudman, lapdog errand boy for Governor Ron DeSantis in his hit piece tirade against Alex Andrade at PSC 2 weeks ago. Gosh, that's hard to keep track. Last week, whatever, you know, Alex Andrade is a big bad meanie. Everybody hates him, and a whole bunch of exaggerations and misrepresentations, and they imported even Mayor Heather Lindsay from Milton to stand up as a character witness, I guess. Anyway, because he referred to her as, you know, how bad Alex has been to her. And then later on that morning, this is at the same time as Alex was doing the hearing with the heads of the board, for the health, Hope Florida Foundation. Anyway, so then Rudman is up for confirmation to PSC, which usually is a pretty, you know, uninteresting thing. I mean, you got Ed Fleming, local attorneys, no problem, pass. Andy Hobbs at the sheriff's office, no problem, pass. And then Joel Rudman. Whoa. You went on some interview and you basically threatened to reveal who you claimed were drug using members of the legislature. If they don't behave in my confirmation hearing, I'll out them. And the senators were like, that sounds like you're threatening us. And he's like, no, not you, House members. Well, they voted him down unanimously. So then Don Gates this morning is supposed to hear the UWF board, which had been the controversy. Now all of a sudden Joel Rudman's the controversy, in addition to the UWF board. And so he goes on to say.
And this morning, I received a text from my district office, and my district office aide received this text from Dr. Rudman this morning. I regret to inform you that I have decided to resign from the Board of Trustees of Pensacola State College, effective immediately.
So no list of names revealed, no appearance in front of the second committee. I'm resigning. I'm not here. I'm going out of the country. Now, he may be just going on vacation. I don't mean to make it like he fled the country to avoid questions. I don't say that. It's funny timing. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John, how are you doing over there?
I'm still just blown away. I'm like, that's why I had you to replay it. Make sure I heard it right.
I don't think in my life I've ever really, I mean, you know, maybe, but Don Gates is always a pretty genial, civil, you know, I've never really heard Don Gates scold anybody. like this, at least in public. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, no accidents to let you know about right now. I-10, I-110 are looking really good. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, so I'm going to play this straight from the Senate video. I don't think it's probably not going to be super loud because their feed is not as loud as mine is able to be, and we're kind of jacked up on the board already. So I'm going to try to play this because I didn't get a chance to record it, okay? But this is Don Gates continuing. He's reading off of his phone at this point.
I was very much looking forward to serving and ensuring the transformative vision of Governor DeSantis was carried out, but unfortunately, I will not be able to do so. I appreciate the honor of being selected by America's Governor Ron DeSantis and will continue to support his initiatives as a private citizen. And so, Doc Treadman first was an aggressive nominee who couldn't wait to come before the committee. Then he decided to decline to come before the committee because we were going to give him some opportunities. I was going to ask him to reveal all of his names and to provide the evidence. We have individuals, officers from the Office of from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement who are here. They're prepared to take down all the evidence and all the names. But Dr. Rudman has not favored us with his appearance and now has resigned from the board. And so consequently, there is no action to be taken by the Ethics and Elections Committee. Because we have a resigned individual, and now if we would take up,
I was waiting for his names. I was waiting for the evidence. We have officers of the law here to go pursue the leads that he is going to give us, and instead of eagerly appearing before our committee and revealing the allegations he's implied in the past, he's not here. He's off the list. He's resigned, and again, Don said he's left the country. Salty. 827 on News Radio 92.3. You know what I wonder? Can they kind of go after him for getting the disclosure of the names he claims? I mean, if he doesn't disclose the names, it starts to look like a defamation case. But can, you know, I mean, if he's in possession of the names of legislators who he thinks have broken the law and he doesn't reveal that just for the sake that it's the names of legislators who have broken the law, that's a problem, right? I don't know if they can force him to disclose, but you could subpoena him, I suppose. And then maybe he could, what? He can't plead the fifth if it doesn't involve you. He could non-cooperate? I don't know. Weird case. Anyway, 828 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, amazed. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, how do I follow that?
I don't know. Pretty juicy.
That's yes, that is quite the opening to the Ethics and Elections Committee meeting.
Yeah. That's a boring, bland pro forma approval of 100-plus nominees, except for this part right here.
Well, jury selection does continue today in the Harvey Weinstein sex crimes retrial in Manhattan. Opening statements could start as soon as tomorrow. The 12-member jury is now set. Prosecutors and defense attorneys do still need to finalize a pool of alternates, though. Today is Earth Day. The observance seeks to inspire people to action when it comes to the planet. There's events being held all over the world today. I believe the big Earth Day event here was held over the weekend, though, at Bayfront Park.
Dang, missed it again.
Although, I'm sure there's still an opportunity, Andrew.
You know, there was a radio host named Jerry Doyle. I think it was Jerry Doyle. He used to always is a very pejorative phrase. And I, as somebody who cares deeply about the environment, but I'm still going to share it, he called them dirt people. Environmental. I love the environment. I care about animals. But it does fit in some cases. Anyway, go ahead, David.
Pope Francis's funeral has been set for this Saturday at St. Peter's Basilica. Cardinals at the Vatican met yesterday to plan the funeral and for the conclave. And that's how they'll choose a new pope. That should happen sometime in the next few weeks.
All right. Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. Optical fiber was first used to carry live telephone traffic in 1977. And this is one of those, it'll probably make you feel really old when I say it, but here goes. This day in history, Elian Gonzalez was taken from his relative's home in Miami. The year was 2000. That was 25 years ago today.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. Pope Francis in a red robe in a simple wooden coffin wanted a simplified Vatican funeral, already shaping up as an enormous world event. President Trump and First Lady Melania attending Saturday.
Starting this time tomorrow, the Pope will lie in state at St. Peter's Basilica for the faithful to pay their respects and to say goodbye. Already crowds have gathered throughout the day here at the Vatican. The announcement of the Pope's death has triggered a series of events that will take place.
Fox's Alex Hogan, a conclave of cardinals under age 75 will elect the next pontiff. And Vice President J.D. Vance greeted in India as edgy markets watch whether he can close a trade deal with Prime Minister Modi to buy U.S. energy and weapons. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth denies the new Signal group chat allegations, tells Fox it's the media peddling lies from fired leakers trying to sabotage the Trump agenda. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a nice start to our morning here. We've got 70 degrees and partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola this morning. Well, some local reaction to the death of Pope Francis.
It did change the way that we minister to others, asking us to be more humble, asking us to work for peace, reminding us to care for creation, reminding us to pay attention to those on the margins, especially the poor and those in war-torn areas.
Now that is local Bishop William Wack, and parishioners gathered at the Basilica of St. Michael's yesterday in downtown Pensacola. That church is now in a mourning period as Pope Francis being laid to rest this Saturday. The conclave will determine the new pope. Ascend Performance Materials has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas. Of course, that process allowing the company to reorganize its finances, the Pensacola plant and rest of the company continuing operations as normal during that period. A Bay County woman's charged with kidnapping somebody while impersonating an ICE agent. LaTrance Battle was arrested earlier this month and faces charges of kidnapping, robbery, impersonating a law enforcement officer, and a felony violation of probation. She reportedly wore a shirt labeled ICE and had a business card and radio when she approached a victim. Now, the 2024 Stanley Cup champions will be defending their title tonight in Tampa. The Florida Panthers head coach Paul Maurice says they're in familiar territory playing against Tampa in game one of the opening round.
It will feel like at times you're under siege when you're not. Everything that goes toward your net is reacted by, and it brings an energy from the home crowd. That's the emotional advantage that the home team gets.
And noticeably missing from the lineup for the first two games, defenseman Aaron Eggblad, who's serving a 20-game suspension for failing a drug test. Well, Escambia County Public Schools is partnering up with the American Heart Association and Nemours Children's Health to provide hands-only CPR training to all 11th graders. April 23rd, that's tomorrow, West Florida High School conducting the final training session. And in total, over 2,200 students have been trained with CPR. Well, some information on that shooting at a local event center. 24-year-old Jalen Woods was arrested on Sunday on charges of murder, firing a weapon in public, and being a felon in possession of a weapon. He's accused of shooting a man outside of the 850 event center at Delano and Pace. And deputies say a 34-year-old was found dead there with a gunshot wound to the head. An attempt to change Florida's gun laws, probably not moving forward. In Tallahassee, State Senate Rules Chairwoman Kathleen Passidomo said yesterday her committee will not be discussing a bill that would lower the age at which rifles can be purchased. The current law says only those 21 or older can buy rifles and long guns. HB 759 would have lowered that to 18. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the Bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. No new accidents to let you know about. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing very smoothly. 98 and Highway 90 are also looking good. I'm not seeing any delays right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Channel 3 forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a chance of some rain as you go into your afternoon. 40% chance overall. High near 79 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69. For Wednesday, 20% chance of a stray shower in the afternoon. High near 80 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Going into your Thursday, partly cloudy skies. High near 79. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. It's a beautiful morning out there, 70 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. And your money now this morning, taking a look at our opening market numbers. The Dow's up just over 400 points this morning at 38,584. S&P up 54 points. 52.12, NASDAQ up 182.5 points, 16.56 right now. 10-year bond rate down a bit, 4.373%. Gold prices up 34.10 at 34.5940. Silver prices up 29 cents at 32.81. Crypto up across the board. Bitcoin's up over 2,400 at 89.770. Ethereum's up 57. Solana's up 5.5. Dogecoin up just under a cent, and XRP is up as well. Instagram is using artificial intelligence to crack down on teens that lie about their age. Meta announced yesterday that they are currently in the testing phase in the U.S. Their software is designed to find accounts that are believed to be teenage profiles, which would put them into the teen account settings. The tech giant says they're using AI to they've been using AI, that is, to verify ages for a while now, but they say it's the first time this specific method has been used. Well, the Federal Trade Commission is suing Uber over its subscription program. The agency is accusing the ride-sharing and delivery company of deceptive billing tied to their Uber One subscriptions. The FTC's lawsuit alleges that Uber One doesn't give subscribers a simple way to cancel. And Google continuing to defend itself in court after the federal court ruled that the tech giant is operating a monopoly. The Department of Justice is proposing a package of remedies to end the monopoly and restore competition. The hearing, which started on Monday, will determine if Google remains in its current form or if it'll have to sell off a portion of its company, such as the Chrome web browser. 8:38, our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week we're talking about crawfish, and how you can nominate a hospitality hero, plus the benefit that tourism has on our community.
Friday at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
What up, fellow Gen Xers? Elizabeth Banks here. As the original latchkey kids, we took things into our own hands, like house keys and video game controllers. And now it's time for us to do it again, because the recommended age to get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. We're at over 6 times greater risk compared to adults under 50. So go to VaxAssist.com and schedule. Gen X, this is our shot. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Meg and John, and you, 437-1620. My question for the day has to do with clocks. Has to do with clocks, okay? Do you consider yourself a punctual person, John?
Yes.
I think you are.
Yes.
Do you consider me a punctual person?
On time, yes. I mean, we're like shaving the
let's
like
say never the, early. We'll put it that way.
Yes, never early.
Yeah. You know, people who have that view, like 10 minutes early is on time. I am not one of those people.
No, you're not.
And if I have to be there, I'll be there. And if I soft have to be there, I will be late. Meg, are you a punctual person or not a punctual person?
10 minutes early is on time.
Oh, you're one of those. All right.
I wasn't. I changed.
Oh, okay. Well,
I used to be 10 minutes late is early.
That's right. That's me. Okay. So here we go. Okay. 437-1620. Here we go. Do you trick yourself by setting clocks ahead? Do you trick yourself by setting clocks ahead so that, for example, you wake up in the morning and it's actually, I don't know, use my case, it's actually 3:50, but set the clock to 3:40, to 4 o'clock, 10 minutes ahead, so that you, you know, and you have that jolt to wake you up. So 437-1620, do you do any tricks to wake yourself up with your clocks or to change, you know, to get yourself accelerated into being somewhere on time with your clocks? 437-1620, John?
No, sir. Not with the Apple Watch and the phone, because
you can't really fiddle with
trick them because they're...
Can you not manually change it?
No.
I know you can on Android, which is another reason why Android is superior, but, you know, you... John's going to have a meltdown.
I'm speechless.
But no, seriously, you can't change it on an Apple product?
I don't think so.
Well, you would know. You're the tech guy.
Yeah,
so,
I've never really looked into it, Andrew, but you know what? I will just for you.
Okay, Meg, do you set your clocks or watches or, you know, the microwave or whatever ahead at all to trick yourself?
I think if I did that, it would be disastrous.
Okay, because you'd forget which ones were right and which ones were not right.
Absolutely. There's no way. But I do set... if I have to get up at 7:30, I'll set it for 7:15 so that I can have
snooze.
That.
So you plan in a snooze.
I plan in a snooze.
Okay, fair enough.
Sure.
How many snoozes? Just one?
Two.
Okay, just two?
Depends.
Okay. Oh, hey, that's an honest answer. You remember when snoozing the alarm clock was always 9 minutes? In the old days, and now it's five on most
five,
of your alarms, unless you
five.
Change it. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. No, I'm a multi-snooze, multi-alarm. I have four. I have four phones that I use for alarms, including one that goes all the way back to the singular cellular days. And that one's on the floor, so I have to physically get out of bed to get to it. You know, mm-hmm. But multiple turn-offs, multiple. Yeah, okay, it's terrible. I know, but there it is. I do not set my time ahead. It seems silly to me, but I mean,
we can tell.
I've never.
You
know? Well, no.
When
here's
you
my
show
theory.
Up on Here, time.
My theory is that only people who are not punctual set their clocks ahead. People who are punctual don't need to. People who know they're tardy a lot, in which category I would fall, okay? But the Venn diagram, okay, if you're looking at it that way, only people who are tardy is my theory. Only people who are tardy are the kind of people who set their clocks ahead. But some people who are tardy don't set their clocks ahead. Okay, that's me. 437-1620. So because I get it so exactly on time, I have to know what time it is.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I do?
If my clock is uncertain, I have to know. That's a problem for me.
One thing I do sometimes, though, if I have a very important meeting
yeah, yeah.
and it's at 2 o'clock, I will put in my calendar 1:45.
Okay, so you do lie to yourself.
But I don't change the clock, but I might put
but
it in
my
calendar.
But you're doing something to
just to kind of make sure I
your
get
own.
There. Yeah.
Okay, so you it's a little playing that game.
A little bit,
which
yeah.
It's kind of like a
different.
Variation on the setting mm-hmm. the clock side. Yep. Okay, all right, fair enough. We'll do a quick traffic and we'll get some of these texts here. 437-1620. Do you mess with time or do you have other tricks that you use, like making it the wrong date in your calendar, wrong time in the calendar, so that you're more ahead? John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
Now, I have done that before.
Okay,
so
yeah, that's a great
you're tool. You're not alone.
Okay.
No accidents to report to you right now. It looks like I-10, I-110 are still looking good. Even Navy Boulevard is running smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Does it bother you guys at all that you lie to yourselves?
I love you, John.
It's not
did I mention that I love you, John?
Yes,
you
Meg, thank you.
Thank you, because you're so supportive of me, and I just really appreciate your support.
No, are we killing him? No, we can't do it. We can't do it.
You got me. That was good. We'll be back to this in just a second. If you are 64 turning 65 or you're retiring or you're going to, you know, just change over from regular traditional health insurance to Medicare, you may have questions. Everybody has questions. It's weird. It's different. It can be scary. It shouldn't be, but it is. Call Ricky Stewart. She's a good friend of mine. Her whole family does insurance. This is the one slice of the insurance puzzle that she handles, and she's so good at it. I mean, look. You call her, you got your questions, what's, you know, prescriptions, what about supplement, what about Advantage, what about Medicaid, does Medicaid apply, all of that stuff. She's easy at explaining it, she's very good at explaining it, and you'll love her, she's a super sweetheart. Give her a call, 341-2185, or look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance, or Insured by Ricky, either way, you can find her easily online. Okay, a lot of texts coming in about the question, you know, do you change times on your clock, like your alarm clock, your old world, old school alarm clock, or anything else, your wall clock, your microwave, anything, to trick yourself into thinking that it's closer to the deadline for you to get to work, typically it's work, than it really is. 437-1620, somebody says, no, if you're not early, you're late. Oh, this is old school, and this is a, you know, I suppose, a guy who should know. I mean, he did run Gulf Power for a while. John Hutchins is he's a great guy. Let's see, somebody says, I keep mine 10 minutes ahead and an hour ahead. What? An hour and 10 minutes ahead? Well, you're really trying to scare me in the morning if you do that. I wonder if some people do it different, like in their alarm clock in their bedroom or in their car, if they've got their car set differently too, because that would be another variation on this. And then, of course, you got to remember which clock is set right.
That would be too confusing.
Or you could not remember and just trust that you've properly tried to trick yourself.
That's too much to think about, man.
No, you don't have to think. Golly. No, if you set the clocks right to trick yourself and then you forget, the trick is working.
Great, and then when daylight savings time comes,
back 53 minutes.
Right.
Exactly. All right, somebody says, let's see, I used to, but I don't need to do that anymore. I don't know if that's like a moral superiority position or they've retired. I'm not quite sure. I don't set them ahead. I just try to be 10 to 5 minutes on time. Who uses numbers that way in an English sentence? Anyway, it's okay. My wife sets them ahead, and I don't like it. LOL. Yeah. Oh, I wonder if people... I've always had this theory. You know, opposites tend to find each other, right? Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'll give you a side note on that. You know, you tend to say opposites attract. True and not true. I think God has a funny sense of humor. And even if you find somebody who's like a compatible with you, same on something, he'll change them just for fun. to get a little bit of friction in there. Anyway, let's see. Apple products are so accurate, they don't need to be tricked into telling inaccurate time. let's see. Another listener here says, sorry, can change the time. Somebody else says, let's see. No, because I always remember that my clock is set ahead and I use snooze math to correct it in my head, so I'm too smart for my own lies. Yeah. I mean, it's a problem. You know, the struggle is real. Somebody says, I have trauma from my childhood with my parents always being late. Missed Santa so many times at Christmas parties. Ooh, real childhood trauma. Like Santa had gone and they got to the party or whatever, aww. I guess. Or maybe, you know,
poor thing.
Santa was never coming.
Hey,
and they told
easy.
You that easy. He was going to be there and then
easy,
he wasn't.
Easy big dog. Easy big dog.
I only change the time on my clock, listener says, when we spring ahead or fall behind. I make the switch on Saturday morning, so when it actually happens, my brain has already adjusted. Oh, they work ahead. Let's see. Kim writes, your theory is wrong, Andrew. I'm always on time, and I do set my bedroom alarm and my phone alarm 10 minutes ahead. All my other clocks are regular. Oh, okay. All right. Glad to be disproven. Just another random Andrew McKay theory out the door. Somebody says, if you set your clock ahead, you know it is set ahead, so it doesn't really work. Well, unless you're a really good liar and bad at telling lies and or deciphering lies, and so you lie to yourself effectively and don't remember. Usually on the 7s, like 5:37. Oh, that's a whole different question. Do you set your alarm for the O's or the fives or the even roundy numbers, or
that
do you set it for the exact
question.
Number? We'll have to talk about that some other.
Yeah,
that's a separate question. Well, you write it down.
You write it down.
Mr. Producer with your sophisticated arm clock phone thing.
Okay, settle down.
bedroom clock sets itself 10 minutes ahead, so I jump up and then get to breathe a nice sigh of peaceful Is it relief when you realize, oh, I got up too quickly?
No, it's not.
It's more of a, why'd you rob me that 10 minutes of good
exactly.
REM sleep, right? And then I can pour my coffee and have those extra 10 minutes. It relieves the stress. I got to hurry. Oh, these are funny responses. My wristwatch, yes, I still use one, has been set 10 minutes ahead for 30 years or so. I mean, you could get it fixed. In the Navy.
You could get it fixed.
Can you see going into the clock repair, the watch repair shop, if you can find one? You go into the watch repair shop, they're like, what's the problem? Like, my watch is running 10 minutes fast. Oh, really? For how long? 30 years.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
That might be what the computer people used to always call a PEBCAC error. You know, PEBCAC is for the problem exists between the chair and the computer, right? It's a user error. Anyway, no, but he says he does it on purpose. Ever since Navy Accession training, we're taught on time is 10 minutes early. It's the other way around. But anyway, or as I tell my wife, when I die, I will have already been dead 10 minutes. I like that. If they only make alarm clock sounds like your dog or cat dry heaving, then you wouldn't need to snooze. Oh, true. Because you're like, no, get up. Save the carpet. Maybe I'm the only one. It's not lying to yourself if you set the time 15 minutes before, because when you are very busy and have a lot of irons in the fire, it gives you a chance to wrap something up quickly before the actual time. I mean, liars find ways to justify lying. If you're smart enough to trick yourself, you should be smart enough to get up on time. Ouch.
Wow.
Fair. Wow. That's the first text I've ever gotten from this listener, and boy, did you land a strikeout. That's wow. It doesn't even apply to me, and I feel chastised. This behavior is ridiculous. Why would you set your clock back to be on time? The goofy part is you should just learn how to be on time. Another one. Oh, we're drawing all the judgment here. I don't change the wall clock in my man cave when the hour changes to make me think it isn't as late as it really is, so I don't feel guilty. ADHD time blindness is a thing. Oh, I cannot tell this story. I have a great story, but... No, time blindness is not a real thing.
Cliff Notes version? Can we get the Cliff Notes version?
No, can't do it. No, can't.
Come on. You say it and then you don't do
can't,
it.
Yeah, it's not right. 8:52 on News Radio. Even I sometimes practice restraint. I mean, it's rare, but it does happen.
Whoa.
Write that down.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction tomorrow at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Is your business, church organization, civic group, school, or other nonprofit organization having a fundraiser or other community event? Let News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 help you spread the word. Send us your information to be presented on our Here's What's Happening weekly announcements. We look forward to hearing from you. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
If you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it?
Suggestion, why don't you just make 10 louder? But these go to 11. 8:55 on News Radio. That's a great movie. I mean, that is an all-time classic. Spinal Tap. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives, which I hit exactly on the second, I'll have you know.
Wow, you are on
It never
time.
Happens. If there's any one thing my bosses could fix about me, that'd be it.
You are
Do
on
traffic
time.
On the fives.
Okay.
All right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by the 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still rolling accident-free right now. Not seeing anything that's going to delay your way in. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Sorry about that. That was my fault.
So do I get to yell now?
Yeah, sure, if you want to.
Okay.
Did you afterwards. Write the thing down like you should?
No. Okay. I told you to do it. Golly, you're the one with pen and paper.
All right. So news out of the Florida, out of Tallahassee, is that Joel Rudman is out. Joel Rudman has told... He didn't tell Don Gates. He told one of Don Gates' staffers. He texted one of the staff members that he was resigning from PSC and that he wasn't going to come to the committee and that he was not going to. In fact, I still love this. This is so amazing. Don Gates reading this morning and talking about the issue because he was up for confirmation for the Board of Trustees for Pensacola State College.
It turns out that Dr. Rudman is the one who has not been revealed. He decided toward the end of the week last week, just before the weekend, to announce that he would not, that he had declined to appear before the committee. And apparently he left the country.
Oh, man. Poor Joel Rudman. Anyway, so he's out. Now, I don't know what they're going to do with the other nominee. I mean, I know the PSC ones are all going to be just, of course, they're going to get passed. There's really no issue with them. Andrew Hobbs is a great appointment. Ed Fleming is a great appointment. I don't really know Zach Smith, but from some of the stuff I heard, he seemed like, I do know. He's a great appointment. I think he's a renewal, and he clearly should be on this board. Now, for University of West Florida, UWF, Paul Bailey, Adam Kissel, Rebecca Matthews, Rachel Moya, Ashley Ross, and Chris Young. Remember, we've had Scott Yenner has pulled completely resigned. He's off the board. That was a good choice by him. Finally, one good choice. And then also Gates Garcia, who's also resigned from that board. I don't know what these other six. Three of them are from the Board of Governors, and three of them are from Governor DeSantis. The question that I want to ask, I don't know if they'll get asked this question. The question that I want asked has nothing to do with Scott Yenner and his anti-feminism or any of that kind of stuff. I want to know why all of them unanimously agreed to make a brand new board member who had never even been to UWF or been to Pensacola the chairman of the board. That's what I want to know. That's the question. That's the judgment question. It's not when did you know and what did you know about Scott Yenner's past. No, he's a brand new board member. Why would you move to make him the chairman when he's never been here? Did somebody tell you or ask you to do that? Who asked you in the governor's office? Hint, hint. right? I mean, because they had to have been asked. They had to have been instructed. I mean, there's no other explanation. Because even in the meeting, in the January meeting, the objection was, well, let's not put a brand new person in. Let's put somebody else, Dick Baker, who's been on the board for a long time and is very capable and competent and knows his way around and actually has been to Pensacola. Let's put him as the chairman. And that was twice mentioned, and they didn't really argue. They just went ahead and put Scott Yenner on. And even, who's the, Susan, I forget her last name, who is the Senate, faculty Senate president. She even said there's a cloud of controversy around us right now. Let's not lean into that. And so the idea of when did they know about his past, well, they could have known by then because it was already a cloud of controversy back in January. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to get asked of these people in this hearing. I don't know how much detail they're going to get into or whether they press them, but I really hope they do because... To me, that's the issue. The judgment question and the competence and the, whose puppet are you kind of question, that's more interesting. Even for the ones that I think are good eligible candidates, I don't like somebody coming in and playing, hostile takeover with the Board of Trustees at a highly functioning local university that we all, love so dearly. 8:59 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We have tickets for the Dixon Dub. If you want to go to see that, we have two tickets for that, 437-1620. Caller number one wins those, the Dixon School of Arts and Sciences. Always a good lip sync battle fundraiser. And we have Navy Days. Navy Days Gala, that is coming up at the Naval Aviation Museum on May 9th, put on by Penn Air Credit Union. Navy Days is going to be great. PensacolaNavyDays.com for more information. Join us for a night at the Museum Gala. That's going to be a fantastic one. Garden Line coming up next with Mike and Meg.